Okay, our learning tonight should be in Merit Fu Shlema, Yisrael Yitzhak B'Dvar Malka, and Daniel Ben Firma. Also, our shir tonight also should be in memory for Rav Lazer Gelzal. Our whole shir tonight is going to be, we're going to take three aspects, what I want to talk tonight about, three aspects of Parshas Vayitzeh, and how to connect it back to Rav Eliezer Gelzaler, who is a tremendous Rosh Hashiva, whose yartzeit is tonight, Tess Kislev. And we're going to see different aspects of how to take drawn from his life and bring it into our own lives. But starting off on the Parsha for each one of those aspects. Three aspects. Aleph. The first aspect we're going to talk about that we see in the Torah is Yaakovinu's tremendous dedication to Talmud Torah. Look at the opening pasuk. Vayetzei Yaakov mi Be'er Shava vayel Charan. What happened was Yaakov departed from Be'er Shava and he came to Charan. So Rashi famously says that he was going there because he was going away from Esav, because Esav wanted to kill him, and that's where Rivka sent him off. But Yaakov was going to get married, according to Yitzchak's opinion. Rav Moshe Feinstein asks a very interesting question. Rav Moshe says, just tell me that he came to Charan. Why did they say, Vayetze Yaakov Mimer Shavah? We were already there last week's parsha, and they've told us, we know that his father wanted him to go find a wife. What's the significance, as Rav Moshe Feinstein, that you have to tell me that he left Be'er Shava to come to Charan. It seems so extraneous. So Rav Moshe says an amazing thing. Rav Moshe says that sometimes in life a person thinks it can only learn in a specific place. I can only grow in Yerushalayim. I can only grow in Eretz Yisrael. I can only grow in New York when I'm by my Rebbe. Says the Pasuk, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava, Vayele Charana. The same Yaakov you were in Be'er Shava, that you learned with your father Yitzchak Avinu, that you grew in Eretz Yisrael, you could still become the same type of Jew who loves Torah so much. You could still become the same type of Jew, even in Charan. Perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Moshe asks, why do you leave? Why does the opening pasuk say that he left Be'er Shava to come to Charan? Very simple. Why do you have to tell me that he left Be'er Shava to come to Charan? Rav Moshe Feinstein says, don't think that you can only grow in Eretz Yisrael, Be'er Shava, and become a different Yaakov. You become Jacob, quote unquote. You become integrated into a foreign town. No, the same type of Jew you grew in Be'er Shava, you could also love Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael. So tonight we're gonna take three aspects of the Parsha, specifically Torah, Emes, and Avos Yisrael, and we're gonna connect it back to Rav Lazer Gelzar, whose yartzeit is tonight. Rav Lazer was an unbelievable yeshiva. He built tremendous Torahs, tremendous yeshivas. He had specifically his own yeshiva called Or Yisrael. Unfortunately, he was killed in a bus accident, I believe in 2004, 2005. Maybe we'll get to it at the end of how that exactly happened. But we're going to talk about different aspects tonight. So right now, Aleph, the first section is the Talmud Torah section. And he has an amazing quote from the Chiddush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe. What does he say about Torah? And I quote from the book, Reb Lazer. I highly recommend it. This book has literally changed my life, so much so that I literally think he's the Rebbe that I never had, but I feel so connected to him. When a person is being pursued by a dog, says the Chiddush Arim, the worst thing to do is to try to outrun the animal because it will just run faster. I always do this when a dog's chasing me. It's your reaction. The only solution is to stop running and stand your ground. The dog will get frightened and turn back. Says the Chiddush Arim, the Yetzirah is the same way. It chases us constantly, and trying to outrun him is futile. The best thing to do is to stop, sit down, and learn Torah. And you'll triumph that way only through learning Torah. Says the Chiddush Arim, who Rav Lazer quoted this Chiddush Arim idea a lot. You want to know how to fight the Yetzirah? Yetzirah is always going to chase after you. Whether you fight him today, he's going to chase after you tomorrow, he's going to chase after you next week. The number one way how to fight him is just like the dog. You stand your presence, and what happens? You sit down, you learn Torah. Right? That's the Gemara in Kiddushin. Barasi lo Yetzirah, barasi lo Torah tavim. Hashem says, I created the Yetzirah, but what's the medicine against the Yetzirah? The Torah. The Torah is the number one way to beat the Yetzirah. Number two, based on this section of Torah, he said he used to come to. In the book, it says he used to come to shiva homes. You know, sometimes in shiva homes they have like mishnayos signups, right? So yeah. Everyone's always running to pick up brachos and megillah, the easy ones.
Yeah.
So he used to say to people, he used to in his yeshiva, he used to make specific learning times to learn taharos and to learn kachim, to learn different quote unquote unpopular sugyos. Because he was a person who understood why did people not do the taharos and not do negiyos and all those hard masechtas? Because they were hard. Because they never got the proper training in it. So he used to always tell students, don't be scared of Torah. He used to try to always tell, we're gonna have a leman in kachim, we're gonna have a leman in this, we're gonna have a leman in that. Don't think you shouldn't be scared of Torah. If anything, you should love Torah so much. And finally, The last thing, I know I could literally talk 10 stories on each topic, but I chose the ones that Hashem brought me to. The third and final thing we're going to talk about is Talmud Torah. Obviously, he was learning Yom and Valayla. He used to come home late at night, 2 in the morning, and learn for like an hour or two. He said by putting his kids to sleep, he used to have one sefer on his knee. Like, incredible, incredible things. But the last thing that he about Talmud Torah, he says, you know, if you look at Shabbos Nachamu usually falls out Parshas V'Eschanan.
Yeah.
Which means Tisha B'Av always falls out before Parshas V'Eschanan. He says, you want to know why that is? He says, imagine the timing. The dejected, broken exiles came limping down into Golos. They had no Beis HaMikdash. They were hopeless. They had nothing. And then that first Shabbos came. They heard the Kriyas Torah. What's in the Kriyas Torah Parshas V'Eschanan? The Aseret HaDibros. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling the Jews, you may feel like you've lost everything, that your lives are bereft of meaning, but it's not true. Because you know what you still have? You have Har Sinai. You have the Torah. Dedicate yourself to it, and you will find comfort over what you lost. You want to know why Parshas V'Eschanan always falls out the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av? Because a person could say, you know what, I have nothing. The Beis HaMikdash wasn't rebuilt this year. I'm lost. I'm nothing. What does the Rebbe say? No. Parshas V'Eschanan has the Aseret HaDibros. Parshas V'Eschanan has the ability to tell a person, no, you have the Torah. You have hold on to the Torah tight, and you'll get comfort within the Torah. So three ideas of Torah. The number one idea, the first idea, the Chidush Harim. The Chidush Harim used to tell people, what? Just like the dog. The dog is always going to chase after you, but you have to stand firm. The Yitzhahara says the Chidush Harim. It's always going to chase after you. Stand strong. Number two, he used to go to the Shiva home, and he used to always see those masechtas that no one took because they were too scared. So he dafka implemented those limudim, the hard masechtas, for like 10, 15, just to get the students not to be scared of Torah, but to be familiar. And once you're familiar, then you enjoy it. And finally, the third idea is, why is it that V'Eschanan always falls out after Tisha B'Av? Because V'Eschanan has Har Sinai in it. You might feel so dejected after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, even in Camp Mosheva, or when you're on the top of the top. You know, you have Shabbos Nachamu, and Tisha B'Av was so bad, but Shabbos comes. Once in that Shabbos, Talmud Torah, you have the Holy Torah. Beis, we're going to talk about the Midas HaEmes. Where do we see the Midas HaEmes being a truthful person in one's life? Where do we see that in the Parsha? So if you look at this later on in the Parsha, we don't have to look it in right now, but we'll just say it outside, is that Rachel, when she leaves Lavan's home, she does something very interesting. And unfortunately, it actually leads to her death. What happens is that she steals her father's Avodah Zarah, and she takes it. And Lavan's chasing them and going through each one. She starts with Rachel, because Rashi says Rachel is always a rummager. He even comes back to Rachel. And he asks Rachel very interesting. He says, you know, you really have to move. I have to see what's under you. And what does Rachel Imenu answer back? Rachel says, Ki derech nashum li. I'm having my menstrual cycle. It's my time of month. I can't get up. She's one of the imahos. You're not dealing with a seventh grade kid who's lying to the teacher.
Yeah.
How could she lie? Right, last week, we dealt with the question, how could Yaakov Inu lie to Esav? About being Esav, and that you could go back to Leshi. How could Rachel Imenu lie? So Berdinsky has a beautiful idea. Berdinsky explains the Gemara in Shabbos on Pei Beis Amud Beis says a very interesting thing. He said the Gemara says the same way that Avodah Zarah impurifies, the same way Avodah Zarah makes something impure, the blood of someone who nida is metame the same way. It impurifies the same way. So if Avodah Zarah impurifies the same way as Avodah Zarah and Nida and Avodah Zarah are basically the same impurity, you go back to Rachel Imenu's statement, was she lying? Ki derech nashimli, right? She had the Avodah Zarah underneath her. She was lying. She didn't want to get up because she knew that her father would see. So what did she say? Ki derech nashimli. Was she lying? On the surface, it looked like she was lying. Says Rabbi Berdinsky, she wasn't lying. But the Gemara says, the same way that Avodah Zarah is metami, Nida is metami. So she wasn't lying. If you look at throughout this whole book, or Blazer, every story after story is how he was just a kulu emistic person. And sometimes emistic means even with your students. There was a Talmud who once came to him with a complaint. We're saying in the earlier days of his yeshiva, when the pressures were fewer, Rabbi Blazer, he had so much more energy on Shabbos, with singing and dancing and Talmud Torah. And he says, Rabbi, with all due respect, I don't see that same energy anymore. I don't see that same enthusiasm. So what happened was, Rabbi Blazer took the next Shabbos. The next Shabbos, he was aflame, leading his Talmidim with a great spirit and warmth. And he went over to the Bachar after Shabbos, and he asked him, was it better? So only someone who's kulo emes could say, not take that as an insult or something wrong with him, right? That's who he was. For another example, how he was so emesic. What happened was, one of his kids, you know, everyone thinks that every rabbi's kids, they're always great, right? Some of us are always great. But some people think, no, sometimes Rebbeim's kids actually aren't great. And what happened was one of Rebbeim's children, it doesn't say who in the story, he misbehaved. And the Rosh Hashiva, Rebbeim Gelzal, and his wife were called into school to meet with the Rebbe. And you could just imagine,
yeah,
being that Rebbe, you have to speak to the Rosh Hashiva.
Yeah.
Most probably, like, the Rosh Hashiva was his Rebbe.
Yeah.
Right? So the story goes is that the Manah was clearly uncomfortable and having to address this distinguished Rosh Hashiva, Rebbeim Gelzal. So Rebbeim immediately saw this emes stick. He saw the emes, and he said, "Listen, I'm used to sitting on your side of the table. I'm used to sitting on your side of the table. I know exactly what it's like when parents think they know better than the Mechanchim. Just know, we will accept whatever you say, and we appreciate everything you say. We appreciate everything you say." Only someone who's emesic can say that.
Yeah.
You know, the past few Shabbos, maybe I'm not the same energy. And only someone who's cool or emes could really say that. Maybe, you know, when you meet down, when you know, usually you're a parent, you're always coming to that meeting, you're defending the kid.
Yeah.
What is he? He's looking for the emes. He's looking for the emes. He's looking for the truth. This didn't only apply to his ben adam l'makom. This also applied to his ben adam. This didn't only apply to his ben adam l'chavero. It also applied in relationship with Hashem. We know that halacha by shavu brachos that some poskim hold that you can only recite shavu brachos if their panim chadoshos are there. If you have new faces that are there, or new people who weren't at the wedding, or new people who weren't there.
Yeah. Something that's going to be very relevant.
Yeah, very relevant to you, Bez Hashem, at the right time.
Yeah.
Bli neder. So what happened? Reb Blazer was once at a shavu brachos, and he saw the panim chadoshos came in really at the end of the meal. What happened was is that the father of the kallah, the chassan, they were begging Reb Blazer, "Please take one of the brachos, lead the benching." And he was adamant he wouldn't do it. He was adamant. Why was he adamant? Because he felt that the panim chadoshos can only be part of the meal if they're really there from the beginning or for the main part of the meal. And the fact is, he only came at the end. He thought it would be a bracha levatala. But did he say that to the people? Did he say that to the husband, to the father of the chassan and kallah? No, of course he didn't say that. But his own, right, he had tremendous sensitivity, and that's going to be the last part of Shir. It's going to be you're going to hear stories that hopefully you'll never forget. But for his halachic principles, they weren't negotiable. He was kulo emes. He was kulo emes when talking about his own enthusiasm on Shabbos. He was kulo emes dealing with when his own kids got in trouble. And he was kulo emes when it dealt with Shabbos, when dealing with halacha. Finally, the last story, just to talk about his midas emes. He actually talks about the midas emes. So he was Rosh Hashiva of his yeshiva, and he had Rebbeim in his yeshiva working for him too. What happened was, is that he used to tell one of his Magidei Shir, when you're grading tests, it's not the time to be exactly perfect, exactly emistic. If a boy gets a 79 or an 84, always push him up and round it off to a better sounding number, like we all want to be in his Shir, right?
Yeah.
You know, 79 is the worst number. Worse than a 79 is an 89, right?
Like,
yeah. Oh, 90, right? Says Rabbi Yelzal, it's not a time to work on your minus emes. Always push him up and round it off to a better sounding number. Find other opportunities to develop your midas emes. Meaning, of course, Reb Blazer Gelzal was an emesic person. But sometimes to be emesic is to not be emesic. What does that mean? Is that you have to see the big picture. If you know you give a test back to a kid with a 79 or 89, it's not the best feeling in the world. Right? You feel the one more point here, one more point there. It's a bad feeling. Reb Blazer used to say, tell your students, push up your students. A couple more points. You don't have to be so exact. So four ideas on MS. The idea that we saw when his students said, "Rebbe, you always haven't been the same." On Shabbos, and he said, "Yes." Asked them the next Shabbos, was it better? Then the next time when his kid got in trouble, and he said, "Don't worry, I'll take everything you say. We're not going to argue. No problem." Then it came to his the Shever Brachos that he wouldn't bench because the Panim Chadoshos, but he didn't say that. He just said, no, it's not for me. And finally, this idea about grading tests, sometimes to be emistic is to not be emistic. But this is really the real part of this year that really connected to me was this last, hopefully the last 12 minutes that we have here tonight, is that his Avos Yisrael was unbelievable. So we have the first two ideas. The first idea of Atama Torah from Rav Moshe Feinstein, that the same word, Yaakov Inu could be in Be'er Sheva, who could be in Charan. Then we saw the second idea from Abirdinsky. Had a Rachim Inu lie, she didn't lie. The Gemara says that the same way Avodah Zarah is Metame, Nida is Metame. So really, the Avodah Zarah was the Metame the same way as Nida. Finally, the third idea we're going to quote tonight is from Rav Pam. Pasuk says in the Parsha that Leah felt hated. Right? If you look in Perek of Tes, Pasuk Lamanaf, that Hashem saw that Leah was hated and she blessed her with a child. Rav Avram Pam, Shishiva, saw this in the Sefer Ol Aryeh, and he asked the following question. How is it possible to say that Leah felt hated? Hated is such a strong word.
Yeah, yeah.
Senua, the Torah says. Right? Even a medium person, a benuni, they don't hate someone. They're irrelevant. Why? What's hated? Or hated is, you have to be a real rush to hate someone. Like Rav David Hirsch, Rosh Hashiva NYU, has a great story. Two of his kids used to say, "Abba, I hate her. So he used to always call back, tell his kids, "You don't hate her, you hate a Malik. Hate is a very strong language, right? You have to hear anyone who ever Rav David Hirsch, only he can make that joke. So what's going on here that Leah felt hated? So Rav Pam answers beautifully. So Leah wasn't hated at all. Yaakov loved her very much. But who did he love more? He loved Rachel Aminu more.
Right.
And when Leah saw that Yaakov loved Rachel more, even result, it made Leah felt a little bit hated. Right? On Yaakov Avinu's level, we're not here to judge, he was Yaakov Avinu. But says Rav Pam, and we're going to quote Rav Pam. Pam said, you wonder she felt hated because she saw her sister being loved more. And he said this actually a tremendous lesson to parents and teachers. When you have kids, when you have students, you have to make sure never ever to show favorites. Never ever to show favorites. To have true avos yisrael to everyone you have. To show true respect to everyone you come in contact with. So we literally have 9 minutes, but I want to try to get everything in over here. Sometimes in life, Hashem sends you different svarim or different things, different messages. This sefer I got over the summer is from Lazarus Geldzahler. It's letters that they put together 5 or 6 years after he passed away, Torah Eliezer. So you go to the store and you buy it, right? Lo and behold, when I got to the store in South Wallsburg, which is next to Woodburn, next to Dougie's, the store only takes cash. I look at my wallet, $5. Yeah. How much does it cost? $8. I go back to my car, my daughter's screaming. I said, I gotta go. Like, Shalom Bayis trumps everything. I call my friend, I said, you gotta get it. So he sent his sister-in-law there. I forgot to tell her that they don't take credit card. Literally after 3 trips, yeah, Finally got the sefer. I open up the sefer for tonight, and to mamash this letter, Michtov Yudalit. He says, if you want to look at next week's parsha, this is a lesson in Avos Yisrael, Rav Lazer said the following thing. He said, you know, what's the difference between, you know, Rashi says an amazing thing. Rashi says that Yaakov fought the Malach of Esav, right? The tremendous battle. If you look in Rashi, says, who was this Malach? It was the Malach of Esav. We know the story that Yaakovino asked for bracha, who are you? And the Malach says, I don't have time, I gotta go. Sorry, I got lunch. Right, I gotta go. I'm gonna call back. If you look in Vayeshev in a few weeks, Parsha, we have another Malach, right? Yosef's going to look for his brothers in Shechem. And he's going around, Yaakovino sends him out. And there's an Ish there. And Ish says, hey, can I help you? And they said, yeah, do you see my brothers? And they said, yeah, they went over there. They went away. Rashi says they went away from brotherhood. The Rashi says, who's that Malach? That Malach is Gavriel. So Gelzar said, this isn't Pshat, this is Jewish. He says, how did Rashi know that one Malach was Esav and one Malach was Gavriel? He says that a Malach that doesn't have time to help another person, that's a Malach of Esav. Right? The Malach of Esav said, I don't have time, I gotta go back. Right, we know that that Hashem is calling him back. But he says the Malach that's not looking to help another person, that's a Malach of Esav. A Malach, a Jewish Malach, a Malach that has godliness, Malach of Gabriel, how can I help you? Yosef, oh, you're looking for your brothers? And he writes this, and this is an amazing thing. He says that a Jew is all about caring and helping for others, looking to help other people. This is how he lived his life. At his own chuppah for his child, we mentioned this story before, at his own chuppah for his child, he came down after the chuppah, and they saw him going over to the side. And what was he doing? He was calling one of his talmidim, who was looking for shidduch for a very very long time, and he never got married. So he said, I want to let you know, at his own son's wedding, you know, at your own kid's wedding, you're thinking of a million things, you're thinking of the flowers, you're thinking of this, you're thinking of that. He's thinking of other people. That's just want to let you know, tzaddik, I'm davening for you, I'm very much thinking of you. What happened was, because we have a couple more things. I hope it's okay. There were three or four more stories. What happened was, is that there was a bach in yeshiva who wasn't in school. What happened was he called him that night to see how he's feeling, and it was clear to him that no one else from the yeshiva called. He gathered in the students very late at night, and he gave them a shmooze about calling people. And he says that an hour later, the sick kid got 20 phone calls. Because what he preached to them wasn't just was Talmud Torah, it was caring for other people. It was going out of your way for other people, showing other people what it's all about. If you look by one of the very interesting mitzvahs, very interesting things that we have, something called Egla Rufa, right? Egla Rufa is the halacha. If you find a dead body in between two cities,
yeah,
the city that it's closest to has to take responsibility for. You ever think about that? Why is it that the city that the body is closest to has to take responsibility for it? So Rav Lazer Geldzahler used to quote the Maharal. The Maharal used to say that if the people from the city used to escort him and make the guy feel good, maybe that could have helped him fight off the attacker. Maybe that could have helped him fight off the murderer. And because they didn't do that, they were responsible. They were responsible because you didn't walk out a guest, you know, Dalai Lama's, and you didn't tell him it's great to see you, come back another time, we'd love to have you. He could have fought off a little harder. He says, that's exactly what the elders of the town must seek atonement for the blood that was spilled. Had they been alive with him in a real way, perhaps he would still be alive. This is how Eliezer lived his life. He lived his life for others, and he died for others too. Which I didn't tell you in the beginning of the story, beginning of the shir, is that he was on a bus going to Meiron with his students to visit the holy Tzaddik Reb Shimon Baruch Hai. What happened was, the bus driver fell asleep at the wheel. I always thought that maybe the guy was texting, but I read tonight that he fell asleep at the wheel. Reb Eliezer saw this, he ran to the front of the bus, and he pushed it back, he turned the bus back on the road, but unfortunately, on the way he did that, he saved everyone else, thank God. Everyone else had minor injuries, but the bus was completely totaled, and he had a lot of injuries, and almost a year later, he passed away from those injuries. He lived his life for others, and he died. In Eliezer, he died for others. Two more stories for over here. We said that next Shabbos is a big Shabbos over here. Ephraim Waxman, Bezer Shem, is coming to BRS for Shabbos, coming to Boca Raton. He's a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and I'm going to ask him about this story. I think we said this story before. Ephraim Waxman said this at his Levaya. He's a good friend of Blazer. He said that he was once returning his rental car, and he was an $800 rental fee. What happened was that Ephraim Waxman didn't have, the credit card machine wasn't working. He didn't have cash. He felt he was very uncomfortable. What happened was there was another bacher there, a Jewish guy, a Jewish student, who saw that Ephraim Waxman needed money, and he laid out the money on the spot. So he said, "You don't even know who I am. You don't even know my name. Why are you giving me money?" He said, "My Rosh Hashiva told me that if you see a Jew who needs help, you don't make calculations. You don't make cheshbonos. You see a Jew who needs help, you go out of your way to help them." And then Ephraim Waxman says, "Who's your Rosh Hashiva?" "My Rosh Hashiva is Reb Eliezer Gelderdale." When you go out of your way for other people, that's the number one thing that a person could do. The number one thing a person could do for anyone. Finally, this is the last final story. I hope you don't share this with anyone else. This is the story I want to mention on Shabbos at Shal Shudas. What happened was, Reb Eliezer's daughter was once driving the Garden State, and a few years after he passed away, and she pulled up to a gas station, where she saw the gas attendant, right, in New Jersey, it's usur d'oraisa to pump your own gas, you get arrested, right? And you saw the gas attendant was a midget, it was a smaller person. As he began to wash her windows, the story goes that he caught sight of a large picture on the passenger seat. He became visibly excited as he pointed to it, and he pointed to the woman. "Who is that?" So the Reb Eliezer's daughter asked back to the guest attendant, "How do you know that person? How do you know who he is?" She says, "Where is he? I've been looking for 2 years. I haven't seen him in 2 years." The girl gently informed him that the gas attendant that unfortunately he passed away. The fellow stared at her, disbelieving, and they began to cry. He said, "You know, I do this job day after day, morning after freezing morning. There aren't many jobs available to someone like me. Cars pull in here every few moments, but everyone averts their eyes, feeling uncomfortable by my strange appearance. Then one day, your father pulled in. He looked me straight in the eye like no one else had ever done. And he said, 'My friend, you are an inspiration. You were born with what might appear to be a great handicap, but you refuse to play the role of the victim. You get up in the morning, you go to work, and you earn an honest living. You are a role model. You teach that circumstances should not dictate the terms of a person's existence.'" With his eyes glistening, the gas station attendant completed his tale. "Of course, so I looked forward to. I looked always forward to seeing your father. He made me feel tall. He made me feel tall." And the first time I read this, and I read this article again today, like, how could you not be brought to tears? "He made me feel tall." That's exactly who Reb Eliezer was. This is what he preached. His entire Avodas Hashem, his entire yeshiva, his entire life was dedicated for others. And he literally, when he used to fundraise for his own yeshiva, and his own yeshiva wasn't so well off, he used to bring, when other people used to help, the people from other yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael who didn't know the people to go to, he used to go collecting for them. Because he cares so much for other people. He even went out of his way to go speak to a gas attendant. And he made this, even 2 years later, how much his roshim is still around. Hashem should bless us that his neshama should have a tremendous aliyah. We should take from these ideas of his Torah, of the ideas that he taught learning about Talmud Torah, to hold strong to the Torah, to be the Yitzhar, to follow his ways of emes, like Rachel Yemenu, by being emesing in anything that we do. And finally, the third thing we saw is the ava to others, his love and his compassion and his sensitivity to others. So we follow these ways, as Hashem, it should be a tremendous chus for him. And the more we act, the Torah that we act, the emes that we act, and the ava that we act, it'll be a tremendous chus for his neshama. And he should be made to Yosher for us, and we should be zochet to see him very soon in Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh, Be'ezras Hashem. Have a beautiful Shabbos.